who should I thank for her hand?
Oh, sorry, Gloria.
I'd like to thank Gloria for handing us the mic. Thank you, Gloria. Just an affirmation that we can be heard from somebody on the board, please. All right, thank you.
Okay, good deal.
We're glad to be here.
It's kind of low, so I don't know what that is, because it's about as far as the mic goes up, so we just need to be sure and talk into it.
Okay. Didn't see that last comment.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll make sure that we're all the way up. So, good evening, everybody. Good to be here. Oh, yeah, look, it's not all the way up. Huh. Okay, hopefully that's better. I don't know if it actually is or if it just gives the illusion of being turned up, but we turned it up on the menu bar here on Pal Talk.
All right. As has become customary, we start with a prayer. And I was just listening to Martin Luther King Jr. And he was listening to him. just had such a resonance within my heart, and his courage and his tenacity and his earnestness and his perseverance and the demonstration of all of those traits just echo through the ages, and they remain for us to grab hold of. And I know that when we listen to people, we generally listen, we listen, and we listen to the words. And what I would ask us to do, for myself to do, is just listen to their willingness. Because if I listen to their words, I can make them wrong or right. If I listen to their willingness, they are never wrong.
Was that your prayer?
Yeah.
That's really sweet. That's really sweet. I felt that. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Okay, we are starting at NTI Matthew chapter 18. I have told you before not to think for yourself, and I have asked you to lay yourself aside. It is this you must practice, because it is this you must do. One cannot maintain self-identity and self-control and be healed of self. Yet one must be healed of self if one is to know the oneness of heaven as I am.
Yeah, I saw it just before we came in the room. Bonnie was asking, let me see here, if I lost it. I don't know what Bonnie was saying. Oh, she said, would you mind spending a little time on how to let go of self-will and choose God's will? So I thought that was interesting, because I had reviewed this and knew that this was coming up, but I think this goes right to that. And it's interesting because... he's going to tell us more about this, obviously, here, but let me pontificate for a minute. No, seriously. my understanding of this has transformed. And let me see if I can get any of that across here. I have asked you to lay yourself aside. It is this you must practice, because it is this you must do. One cannot maintain self-identity and self-control and be healed of self. So it's a shift, guys, that we're being asked to participate in here. It's a shift of perspective. And yeah, okay, we've heard that before, but it's really a shift in, what we tend to do is we look out from this static point. This Locke Kelly talked about it with us a couple of weeks ago in our sad song interview with him. But we tend to think of ourselves as this thing like that's located somewhere in our head region, somewhere between our eyebrows, in the top of our skull, and we tend to look out from there onto the world. We've heard it called a filter, but it's more than that. It's a perspective whereby I'm this separate vantage point. I'm this place that I look out from, and then relate from that place to everything else. Gosh, I'm having a really hard time putting this in words. I really feel like I've experienced a shift in that, in large part in my experience lately. And it just somehow it just feels more. I wish I could say it. I'm having a really hard time, and I apologize for that. It just feels more inclusive than that. I don't feel myself to the exclusion of everyone else or everything else. It doesn't feel like I'm looking out from this vantage point onto this field of things. It feels like the field of things encompasses the point from which I relate to the world. Okay, I know I have said nothing, so I'll stop trying.
I would add to that. First of all, I think it's a brilliant point, very well elucidated, and the fact that you find it so difficult to describe lends great credence to its legitimacy. Really, that's the truth, because that's the way this works. This is this what we're doing is not something. We're not talking algebraic formulas here. We're not talking history. We're talking about self-discovery. And so when that dawns upon us, the words only get in the way. And so to hear you try to explain it, I truly appreciate it. And I join you in the space where I know you're coming from.
Sweet. Thank you. All right.
To continue, I say to you, practice with me today. Do not think for yourself. Ask me in all things and leave all things to me. I just want to, in regard to that right there, do not think for yourself. Ask me in all things and leave all things to me. That doesn't mean ask me with the mind. That means go into your heart. That means be in your heart. Question without words. Have that exquisite longing for that connection. You do not need to explain yourself.
Listen, I want to back up. As we were speaking, Bonnie said was asking oneness, about that experience that we were talking about having. Yeah, it's you know what? It feels more, Bonnie. It feels more like inclusiveness. Like I'm not I'm not the kid that's been left out of the clique that I'm watching. I'm watching the kids across the street playing. I've been left out. That's how I used to feel, right? Like it was me looking in on them. Now I feel part of that group. So it feels more like just this inclusiveness of all of experience. I don't feel separate from the experience that I'm having. And Larry's written, he's quoting Nook Sanchez, Take Me to Truth. He says, the ego skillfully disguises all the people, places, events, and circumstances to which we respond and justify our grievances as coming from outside us and wants us to believe we are victims of random chaos, thus further encouraging our dependence on and allegiance to it. In other words, When we respond to anything that appears to happen, we are giving power to the ego self-will. Our liberation depends on relinquishing the ego's self-will's stranglehold and learning to let go of it in order to awaken. Yeah, and even let's see. Let me just sit with that for a minute. Thank you for your patience. Radio silence, right? Yeah, I really do appreciate the part where she says experiencing disguises all people, places, events, and circumstances as coming from outside of us, and that's the difference. Is somehow there's a connectedness even when it seems to be coming in a direction that seems to be coming outside in. There's a recognition that that is really not without the scope of my experience, that that's really not outside of that. My experience includes everything. It's not just my experience anymore. It's I include everything that I experience. My awareness includes everything that I experience, and I recognize myself as that awareness rather than, again, watching it through a window pane or watching it across the street, right, and not participating. It's more, like I'm in the thick of it. It doesn't feel like it's coming from outside me. And let's see, let's look at what you were just reading.
I say to you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and it's cool too because in that first paragraph, he says, "In it is this you must practice because it is this that you must do." And of course, we learned that with the Course in Miracles, right? When the Course told us that our only problem was that we felt separate from God, of course we went, "What? That's not my problem. I don't feel separate." But that really is it, and that's what this is saying. You have to give up that idea, not just the idea, the concept of separateness, but really the belief in it, the belief that there could be anything that occurred that could possibly be outside of me, outside of my experience. So it's so, and that's what he says in that first paragraph, and then in the next paragraph, the one that Tom just read is to really just practice including everything within your experience of awareness. It's not possible that it could occur outside of the consciousness that you are.
Thank you, hon. Okay, I'll continue with verses 5 and 6. And Martin Luther King, I was just listening to, was on loving your enemy. So these next two verses are so pertinent. Love your brothers and be at peace with them. Accept them as they are and where they seem to be. Do not ask your brother to change his place, but love him in his place. And then ask me how your brother's place is helpful to you. In this way, your brother is your teacher and you are his. Forgiveness may not always seem easy. You will encounter great resistance in forgiving your brothers and in forgiving yourself. Do not let resistance alarm you. Resistance is fear, and to give in to resistance is to give in to fear. I love where he says, do not ask your brother to change his place, but love him in his place. And when I was talking about the words, I was talking about listening to the words of all who speak, all who use words. And even behind the words of hatred, what we call hatred, There's a willingness there. There is still a willingness within that soul that is what we embrace. That is what we embrace. That's the truth. To get lost in a war of words or a war of ideas, we punish ourselves and we subject ourselves to endless suffering, continued cyclical in the loop. So the Holy Spirit says, forgiveness may not always seem easy. You will encounter great resistance in forgiving your brothers and in forgiving yourself. This, when I was a kid, I used to hear every now and then I'd see these people going around claiming that Armageddon was coming, that the world was going to end. And it, they scared the hell out of me. I was a little kid and I heard all this, and as I look at it now, for what my experience has been for the past week, my Armageddon is upon me, and I have to be responsible to myself. That means I have to look at myself, look only at the self. I don't want to listen to people's words. I don't want to look at images. That is me going out looking for doubt thoughts. I don't need doubt thoughts added to doubt thoughts that are already systemic within me. So I choose to spend my time looking only at myself.
Well, that's interesting because let me tell you my experience of Tom's Armageddon. I thought, and as I said, I reviewed this earlier. I just read this chapter 18. I knew we'd be covering it tonight. Tom and I had just had an encounter, and I thought it was just really, I thought it was really appropriate because, with whatever Tom's been going through, and we don't talk a lot about it, but whatever he's been going through, I have opinions about his behavior. So I just really thought this was so on point, what we're called to do. And it's again, it's what Tom said a while ago. When you listen to people, you have to listen with your heart. So that's really what I'm being asked to do in this paragraph. Love your brothers, love your husband, right? And be at peace with him. Just love him. Just love him. Accept him as he is and where he seems to be. So, we talk some about what Tom was just sharing with you, and I have thoughts about what he says and his path and what he's doing, and really, I'm just asked to love him and accept him where he is, so do I. What kind of husband do I want him to be? Well, when I say this, I want him to say that. I want to feel loved. I want to feel, needed and appreciated. And those responses, I mean, right now with whatever he's going through, those aren't coming back. I'm not getting that. Am I not getting it because I'm getting what I expect to get, because I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing. What is going on? What's going on? But this is just really beautiful. It's because it's like, let him be. Love him. Do you love him? Then love him. Let him be, and then ask me, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, inner wisdom, ask me how your brother's place is helpful to you. So let me ask, what am I to see in this? What am I to learn from this? What am I upset about, right? Why? So, again, it's like the self-inquiry that Regina teaches. If my mind were perfectly healed, I would not be feeling this contraction, right? I would not have this what feels like pain because he's failed to acknowledge me, or he's failed to whatever, reciprocate, didn't say he loved me, didn't kiss me on the head. I mean, whatever it is, right? What's going on with me? And that's what I really think this paragraph is about. It says, in this way, your brother is your teacher and you are his. So, I would teach what I want to teach is love, right? So what is preventing me from doing that? What is it that I'm believing that would prevent me from being what I am, right? Which is just extending the love in my heart to his heart, just feeling his heart, not needing to go, gee, did he say the right thing that time? Did he say love you too, honey? This is from, it's not about him. It's about me. And that's where my focus needs to be. And if I'm not extending that love and feeling that love, the question is, what is it that I need to see? And that is asking for help. That's just saying, show me what forgiveness is. Show me what I need to see. Not tell, and I know the course talks about this, it's like bring this stuff to me, but don't bring it to me thinking I'm gonna go, yeah, you know what? You're right, he isn't an SOB. Don't bring it to me expecting that you're right. Is what the course says. And this is the same thing. Bring it to me and ask me to help you see what you need to see about you. And so that's so I just thought that was right on point with what was what I felt was going on with us here at home. Let me read what Larry's written. He wrote, "Surrender is complete only when you reach the stage, Thy will be done." And that's Sri Ramana Maharishi. A woman's heart should be so hidden in God that a man has to seek him just to find her. Ooh, I like that one. That's a good one, Larry. Thank you. Okay, I'm done. Thanks for letting me talk.
Sure. Thank you. This has been, I won't say a stressful time because it's not stressful. This has been a powerful time this last week. I don't wish that the election would have turned out otherwise. The greatest, I find, the greatest strides are made in what is perceived as adversity. There was a perception of adversity, and I'm grateful for it. This is a gift. If the election had turned out the other way, I mean, perhaps would have just been. I never know what my how strong my willingness is, but I see from this last week that my willingness wasn't what I thought it was. My willingness is now amplified, and I realize that there is a blessing. There was a blessing. And this is, it is not about making, I mean, we've read the book. We've read all the books. And if they're not, if we do not abide in the knowledge, then throw the books out and find new teachers. So this is the time when we have to hold on to the self.
Capital S.
Capital S. Yeah.
You want to start again at verses 7 through 9? Forgiveness?
Sure. Forgiveness may not always seem easy. You will encounter great resistance in forgiving your brothers and in forgiving yourself. Do not let resistance alarm you. Resistance is fear, and to give in to resistance is to give in to fear. Remember, fear can keep you from me. So when you feel resistance, recognize it for what it is. Realize that resistance is a path from me, and ask yourself which path you would place your feet on now. Then let go of your belief in resistance and let go of your fight against resistance. Give your heart to me. Ask me to help and let yourself rest as the resistance passes on to nothingness. Then the way is clear for you to forgive and accept the peace of God and joy. Resistance shows up, there's no question. But it, he says, then let go of your belief in resistance. So it's not resistance that shows up, it's my belief in resistance that shows up. My truth is willingness. The belief is resistance. I'm going to continue. You have something?
Yeah, I do. Forgiveness, says he's talking about forgiveness and forgiving your brother and yourself. And really, for me, what's helpful to read here is just allowance. It's the same thing as he said before, you know, let your brother be who your brother is, you know. And then allow yourself to be who you are. So don't be alarmed when, because my resistance, the way I experience it, is really that need to be right. That need to be, you know, for Jesus to tell me, yeah, your husband really is being an ass right now. That's what I want to hear, right? So that's how I experience resistance. But that doesn't mean all is lost. That doesn't mean that I've forgotten how to forgive. That doesn't mean that I cannot be the loving brother to him. It doesn't mean that I can't learn to really allow and accept and abide. You know, that's what this forgiveness is about. It's not just like, oh, okay, I'll let him, you know. No. It's not that. It's not, he's an asshole, but I'll blah blah blah, whatever. It's a deep acceptance. It's hard to get to that place sometimes for me, because I really feel like, you know, daggone it, people don't treat each other that way, right? I have really have these firm ideas about how things ought to go, particularly in a relationship between a man and a woman. So that's how resistance shows up for me. It's just this real, you know, daggone it, I'm right. How, what am I supposed to do with this? Because, you know, daggone it. So really that's where, and then he says, you know, okay, so here's the way through this. Give your heart to me. Ask me to help. And that's the surrender. And Larry, that's the surrender that Larry talked about a while ago. Yeah, and once you make that surrender, once you really giving up, surrendering in the face of the belief that you shouldn't have to surrender, that you're right. That's for me, that's where where this resistance is. So this is asking you to do just that. Surrender in the face of resistance. And it says, and let yourself rest as the resistance passes on to nothingness. So when you surrender in that way, it really does. It dissipates like mist. Then the way is clear for you to forgive and accept the peace of God in joy.
Thank you. Verse 10 and 11. Watch your heart when you believe you have forgiven. Be careful that you do not find a grievance or a grudge there. For if you do, Your forgiveness is not complete. You will know that your forgiveness is complete when you love your brother with your whole heart and soul and mind, just as the angels do.
Sweet.
If you love your brother any less, ask me to help you learn to forgive. Well, we're directed right there to watch our heart. And that's there's a choice there that we have to choose to be in our heart. We are conditioned to not be in our heart only when maybe when a desire is achieved or a broken heart is coming our way are we in our heart. But to be present in our heart, to live in our heart as a matter of course. That's where the knowledge is. That's where you will know if you are forgiven or not. Your mind will not know. If we want to know if we have forgiven, if we have forgiven completely, we need to be intensely quiet and truly look deeply and let this sense of this separate self, let it dissolve in the truth.
Says a beautiful lead into the next verse, and go ahead and read that.
The Spirit of God is one, and no one can be left outside. If you have not forgiven your brother, you are lost from the Spirit of God. Do not be confused. You are not responsible for your brother's place. But if you cannot forgive him his place, you are lost from yours. The Spirit of God is love. Everybody hang tight for a second.
Sorry, technical.
Jack's
difficulties.
Doing it. Jacqueline's doing a technical.
I don't know what's behaving that way.
Oh, that's your phone?
Yeah. Huh? But I don't know why that. Let's see if it quits doing it now. Yeah, but before you go on, I just I want to say a thing or two, if you don't mind. We've been hearing this refrain throughout Matthew: "The Spirit of God is one," and we've been hearing that again and again and again and again. This goes back to this idea of the inability, the absolute inability to be separate, despite our belief that we're separate. We really cannot be separate. Silly computer. So, so if you you can make yourself feel separate, you can make yourself feel opposed to your brother by not joining your brother in your heart. But that's just, that is the illusion. That's the illusion that you're choosing to entertain. Even if your brother's, you know, acting out, you know, your brother, your husband, whoever it is, right? Even if that one, and of course Tom hadn't done this, but even if that one were calling you names or, you know, just being nasty or whatever it is, right? You know, it's saying, you know, you're not responsible for your brother's place, but you are responsible for your place in relation to your brother. You're responsible for whether or not you're extending love to that person. And if you're not extending love to that person, if you're not seeing them through your eyes of wholeness, then it's you who are confused about reality. and your place in within consciousness. You're confused about your wholeness, not about his.
Okay.
Yeah, and Larry says, don't take another's path as your own, but neither should you judge it. Helen Schuckman. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. The Spirit of God is love. And to know your place in His heart, you must be loved too. Love does not make judgments, and love holds no grievances. So do not worry about your brother's place. Ask me how the symbol of your brother's place can be used to help you find yours. Really, and it just points to persons being used as symbols, as pointers to truth, allowing these pointers, which seem so ominous at times, to be used as pointers. Be careful in talking to your brother regarding a difference or disagreement, for in the world these discussions must happen. When you go to your brother, go with me. Check your heart to ensure you find forgiveness there, and also that you find trust that the situation has been given to me. Clear your mind of judgments and desired outcomes. Ask only for healing and enlightenment. When you are sure all of this has been done, talk to your brother while being careful to listen for me in love and confidence. In this way, there can be no loss, for the situation is no longer a situation of the world, but it is a situation of heaven, for heaven has been made its purpose. Again, this is what I see. Check your heart to ensure you find forgiveness there. Check your heart means check your willingness, to me. You know, if I'm doing this robotically or because there are words on a page and they say to do this, then I can expect as much as I can from something like that. But this is talking about checking your heart, and that is again checking the willingness, the willingness to dissolve, to be dissolved, the willingness for this separate self to be dissolved. I trust that you had something.
I did. Sorry about all the. I don't know if you guys can hear that noise in the background, but computer's just doing weird, really weird stuff. I'm gonna try and unplug that phone. Maybe that does it. Let's see if it does. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. I did have something. I've lost my place now. Oh yeah. this is great. This is you know, telling us that every encounter is a holy encounter. That these disagreements. You know, don't be surprised if a disagreement happens in the world. Disagreements are going to happen. But it's for you. Again, he's told us that two or three times here in this one chapter. This is for you to use to find your place in heaven. This is for you to use to find your heart. This is not about facts in the world. This is about you finding your enlightenment. And hang on a second, because I want to get these cards. I got it on my little key ring that I take to the office. But these questions from Inner Ramana. And I just love this these questions. So you can ask yourself in these types of encounters, what am I to see in this? How shall I listen? What am I to hear? What would you have me know? What is my perspective as given by you? How shall I respond? What shall I think? How shall I be now? What would you have me see in this I am not seeing? What would you have me do now? I mean, these are the questions we should be asking ourselves, not, am I right? Anybody can see this person's a fool, or nobody should have voted for this person, or anybody can see that this guy's not acting like a husband should act, or I mean, because generally that's what we use our encounters in the world to do, to prove how we're right, to bolster our sense of self, our self-esteem. We're not. What we're being advised to do here is do exactly this. Ask these types of questions. Ask the eudaimonic questions. What would you have me see in this? How do you want me to listen in this instance? Help me be in my heart so that this is truly a learning experience. This is truly an enlightenment experience. That's what we need to look for in every encounter.
Thank you. Verse 18. It is what is in your mind and your heart that is important, for there the resolution shall be. And I'm going to speak from my experience on that particular verse. My heart will always direct the mind. My mind takes its cues from the heart. Whatever the heart wants, the heart is the seat of desire. And so I have to watch the heart because that is the seat of desire. And that's my experience again. So what I'll watch first, I'll always watch my heart. I'll always, or sometimes I get, I watch, I'm caught in a maelstrom of thoughts, and I'm like, oh, I don't look at my mind, I look at my heart. I say, where am I? Who do I think I am right now? And get centered again. It's important to keep the mind clear. But if the heart isn't clear, you've got no shot of keeping the mind clear. M maybe for an hour if you sit quietly, but right after that, the heart is the source. So the source will always direct the mind, in my experience. If your brother and you agree in love, you shall be blessed by love. Let love be your only goal. Your brother is yourself, and so you must forgive your brother to know yourself. Do not give up on him. To give up on your brother is to give up on love. And this just speaks to me that everything that I see, everything that I see that I perceive as outside myself is actually truly in truth. If we're going to be true to the word, it's within me.
Right.
It's a part of me.
Right.
If I'm judging it, if I'm hating it, that's hating myself and persecuting myself.
Well, and in fact, I mean, it's creating that sense of separation. It's being divided against yourself. It's a refusal to recognize it. And it says that your brother is yourself, and so you must forgive your brother to know yourself. If you haven't forgiven him, you're holding yourself apart from yourself. You are creating duality. It's interesting to see this paragraph in juxtaposition with the one up above, verses 12 through 14, sentence 5, the spirit of 5 and 6, the spirit of God is love, and to know your place in his heart, capital H, his heart, you must be love too. This is talking about, embodiment, said it while ago, oneness. I mean, that's what this is talking about. You ask, well, how and why would we create separation? Why would we create a separate sense of self? It's this way. It's by continuing to see our interest as opposed to the interest of our brothers. It's a refusal to see our interest as the same. How do we see as our interest as the same? We relate heart to heart. We understand that this isn't about that this relationship, this encounter is not about events in the world. This relationship, this encounter is about relating heart to heart to recognize the one true self. And you can say, yeah, but he hurt my feelings. Yeah, but he voted for the other candidate. Yeah, but he stole from me. Yeah, but you can continue to create that separation, or you can see that it's that is not where it's at. That's not what it's about. It's not about affirming this experience of separateness that we're having. This is about affirming our oneness. The spirit of God is one. The spirit of God is love. That's the experience that we want to come to understand. We've been having another experience. This is the experience that we want to come to understand. Therefore, this is the experience that we have to practice.
Yeah, and these refusals to surrender, these judgments and the hatred, and any words that we use to indict anyone is just testimony to the ego. Testimony to the I thought. It takes a great willingness and a lot of quiet time to do that. And we continue.
Twenty-three through 35.
You suffer because you do not love, for love is not itself unless it is whole. No one can be left out of love. No thought that is not love can be left in your mind. Listen to me. Rejoice at your opportunities to forgive. Be happy that you have found yourself judging or holding a grievance. For what you find, you can let go. In this way, the splinters to love's presence are removed, that love may be known as whole again. Again, we've mentioned it quite a few times, especially when we started this course, the choice to see people or consciousness. If we see people, the inference is obvious. There's going to be distress, discord, disagreements, judgments,
Competition.
competition, and everything else that could. It's an infinite list. Consciousness is love. Consciousness is one. There is no separate consciousness that is a life force in you that is the same life force in me. It's not a different consciousness. There is one life force. We hang many veils over this life force, and then we salute these veils. We hold up testimony to these veils. It's painful to think of oneself as a fraction of the whole. We have opportunities. We are blessed with opportunities if we have the wisdom to see them, if we have the wisdom to accept them, if we have the wisdom to practice among them.
We do have a.
Okay, we're starting off with the Bible verse at NTI, Matthew chapter 19.
All right, so we're reading from the Bible. Divorce, ah. Matthew chapter 19. This is a new international version. Okay, divorce. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea, to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman commits adultery." I think I've read further than I was to read here. I think I did. I think I was supposed to stop. I think I was just supposed to read verses 1 through 6. So again, 1 through 6 stopped at "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate."
Alrighty, creeping up on the bewitching hour here,
Oh, we
but we're
are.
gonna finish up a little bit. The symbol of marriage is the symbol of joining, but I have told you before that it is not what you do that is important, but why you do it. Do not let the form of what you do confuse you. Always look beyond the form to your heart. What do you find there? Is joining reflected in your heart? If not, then you are not joining, and it is joining you must seek.
Yeah, and which is a really sweet place actually to end this. I'm sorry I interrupted, but
Should I finish that? And then we could finish. Should I
all right,
finish?
go ahead and read the rest of it.
Last paragraph.
Yeah, sorry.
Do not expect joining to have a specific form or follow certain rules. Let go of everything you think you know about joining. for what you know has not brought you to be joined. Ask me to lead you in joining, and then let go and let me lead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it was really sweet because here it's talking about always look beyond the form to your heart, which is where we started with this, which is where Tom started with this when he was talking about listening to Martin Luther King Jr. and really looking beyond the form of what was being said and beyond the words that were being said and really experiencing that in his heart. And that's what this is, and that's what we've been talking about all night, and that's what this is pointing to, is just really just being in your heart in these encounters. And in fact, I would suggest that, you know, I talked a little bit about that shift that I've been experiencing, and that's exactly it. That's the inclusiveness. That's where you feel the inclusiveness is, what's where I feel the inclusiveness is when I'm in my heart, when I'm out of my head and in my heart. And then I don't see through that filter. I see more globally.
Well, the join for and again, we all speak from our own experience, and hopefully, you know, I've used the word dissolving tonight quite a few times, and it feels kind of like that's kind of what we're closing with. When we dissolve. Dissolving is joining in love. It's seeing no differences. It's seeing that life force that animates your being, that being that I see across the room, that is the same life force that animates me. These veils that we hang over this life force are so inconsequential. All they do is they just lead to suffering. They lead to suffering, and it's unnecessary. I've listened to some teachers this week, and one of the most common things I've heard from every teacher is do not delay. Do not delay. And they're not asking us to make haste. They're not asking us to get busy, you know, awakening. They're just saying, don't empower obstacles. Don't give your power away to idols. Do not give your power away to symbols of resistance or failure, because they're not there. They're only in the mind that believes in them. I choose to dismiss the mind. It's there if I need it. I try not to use it. I remember a reading from the Tao. It said, the more you use it, the more it produces. I try to use it as little as possible and just dissolve. And I see it's 11:30, so I'm going to...
Thanks, guys. Love you.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. It was cathartic, actually.
It was really good. We enjoyed it. Hope you did, too. We'll see you next week. Letting go of the mic, if I can get back to Pal Talk here, to let go of the mic. Good night.